This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Fili Mapulani, who's the Deputy Minister of Communication and Digital Technologies. We are in conversation with the department to unpack work done by the department as well as to unpack International Fili Exhibition at the Cape Town International Convention Centre. This was after South Africa was granted patronage to host the conference and exhibition with the theme Road to Democracy at the 75th FIP Congress, which was held in Bangkok in December 2018. Deputy Minister, let me welcome you to the program this evening.
Good evening, Chancellor, and thanks for having me.
Firstly, take us through what this is all about. What is the purpose of this particular event?
Well, this event is an exhibition. It's an international exhibition on stamp collection, which they call it philately. So philately is a practice of collecting the stamps. So there is an organization that was founded some years back in 1926 in Zurich, Switzerland, which promotes this practice of stamp collection. So in their Congress, which was held in 2018 in Bangkok, they decided that South Africa must host the next session, the next exhibition, which was supposed to take place in 2021. Unfortunately, because of COVID, it could not take place. So we're able to host it this year. So we were hosting juries, commissioners, stamp collectors, and exhibitors from about 40 countries across the world. They are still here. The exhibition is coming to an end on Saturday.
So when looking at developments around this event, South Africa was also granted patronage to host this conference and exhibition with the theme Road to Democracy. Speak to us about the significance of South Africa indeed being granted this patronage.
Yes, of course, the theme of this year's exhibition is the Road to Democracy, which is which we are celebrating in South Africa, the road that we've traveled up to where we are. You know, South Africa has got the history of colonialism, of apartheid, of struggle against apartheid, of resistance. So all of that we are celebrating in this exhibition. So there's a couple of stamps that have been put out in celebration of this. You know, Atlanta, that there were many countries who supported the liberation struggle by producing the stamps which are dedicating to the liberation struggle.
Right.
And so all of those stamps have been exhibited. We are celebrating both the past, and we're also celebrating the present in a way that we are trying to build a nation, we're trying to build a united nation. We're trying to build a non-sexist society, a multicultural society, united in our diversity. And all of this has been exhibited at this year's exhibition.
You know, growing up, I've always thought stamps or postal stamps to be just a means to ensure that that you send a letter across. You know, you pay a small fee for the stamp, lick it, put it on the envelope, and then put it in the mailbox, and it simply goes. But judging by what you are telling me, it would seem that stamps also play a very significant role as an educational tool as well.
It does. It does, Nhlanhla. It plays a very significant role to educate, but also to preserve the history, because through stamps, you are able to, because stamps are issued and they depict certain historical moments. When Nelson Mandela was released from prison, there was a stamp in dedication of him. So certain historical moments are preserved through the issuing of the stamps.
Right.
You know, the stamps, the Federation, this is promoting this stamp collection. They say it's a It's a hobby of king. So it is a hobby because actually when you look at the stem, it's sort of a miniature of art. It's a piece of art that there are people who are collecting. And it's a very popular practice throughout the world of collecting the stems, because through the stem, there is a history that is being told. Among the stems, just for interest sake, okay. Among the stems and among one of the historical documents that has been exhibited here, there is a letter that was written by our statesman, former President Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
It was around 1985, so he was writing this letter to Matanzima. During that time, the apartheid state was under severe pressure to release the political prisoners.
Right.
So they were saying, no, they don't want to release it to where Mr. Mandela was coming from in Soweto. They want to release him to a Bantustan. So Matanzima then is given the task to persuade Mr. Mandela. So there is an original letter that Mr. Mandela wrote to Matanzima rejecting that offer in a very polite way.
Yeah.
You know, saying that, look, I'm not going to accept, because the very reason why we are incarcerated it was no longer Robben Island, I think it was in Paulsmoor. The very reason why we are incarcerated in prison is because we are fighting against the very same system. How can I accept to be released to a Bantustan one? The reason why we are here, we are fighting against the system. So there is a letter that he wrote, which he signed as Dalibunga. You know, it's a clan name of the former president. So this is a way of preserving our rich history, our rich culture as well, through the stems and the letters and the historical records.
It's very interesting that you say that. And to extend the conversation even further, a lot's been said about the need to celebrate our heritage, our culture, and more importantly, like you've just highlighted right now, to also celebrate our heroes. Let's reflect a bit more on this broad spectrum of the country's identity, as well as our heritage, our culture as well, and celebrating our heroes and heroines, and more importantly also, spurring economic as well as social development in this country.
Yes, Nhlanhla. You know, we come from a very bitter past, if you may say that.
Yeah.
In 1652, when the colonial settlers decided to come to settle in this country, of course, resistance that came through, and that resistance ultimately, the last form of resistance was the Bambatha Rebellion in 1908. There are stems which are depicting that resistance. Of course, the establishment of the ANC in 1912 is a way of Africans coming together to resist this occupation, and the struggles that has happened throughout. That, of course, is all of that is documented in the stems, all of it. The Defiance Campaign of 1952, it's all of it is documented. So it is important, Nhlanhla, for us to embrace the democracy that we have, but we must never forget where we come from as a country. And so we must have a way of celebrating what we have, recognizing where we're coming from through a number of things. And what we are doing here through the stems, we're trying to do that and contribute to us that historical records.
But are there any financial or even business aspects of dealing with these stems?
Well, not really. I think it's a hobby. Stem collection, what is called philately, it's a hobby.
Like you said, the hobby of kings.
It's a hobby of kings, yeah. They say a king of England was one of the enthusiastic collectors of stamps. at some particular point. And they also mention a number of kings who were collecting the stamps. So it is a hobby. But, you know, interestingly, and Clantla, there is a stamps. You know, the post office currently sends about 1 million parcels a day.
Right.
And the significant portion of those parcels are letters. So people are still buying stamps. People are still sending the letters. They are putting the stamps on the letters. They are sending it. So it is something that is still there, and people are still, you know, utilizing that the stamps as well.
As we shift gears a bit, it would be a bit amiss of me not to also probe you on a number of developing matters pertaining to your department as well. Of course, being as in your capacity as Deputy Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, and more specifically to get us started is to touch on the issue of, or the process rather, of migrating broadcasting signals from analog to digital. Of course, this is done as a result of the International Telecommunications Union resolution that countries should migrate their broadcasting services from analog to digital. But it would seem that, especially for anybody who's been following this particular matter, this has taken seemingly too long, especially in this country. Give us your thoughts and developments around this issue.
Indeed, Angela, this has taken too long. We are not happy about it.
Mm.
We have always made a point that South Africa, as a complex economy, as an advanced economy relatively in the African continent, should have been one of the first to migrate. But actually, we find ourselves being the last for a number of reasons that we have experienced these delays, part of which is, you know, the contestation, the court litigation, that has been stopping the migration. But we are happy where we are now, Tlatla, that the Constitutional Court has finally given a clear way forward on what needs to be done. The Constitutional Court said this matter is urgent of migrating, and therefore government must be allowed to follow the processes. And what are the processes?
Mm.
One is that the Constitutional Court was very clear that we need to give sufficient notice to those who are going to be affected, particularly the indigent household. As you know, that the indigent household are being assisted by government to be given the set-top boxes so that it can enable them that when we switch off the analog television, they are able to continue to watching TV, whatever TV says that they have. So the Concord said give sufficient notice, which is what the minister has done. So the minister has given notice. That notice period came to an end in the end of September. We now have a sense of all the indigent households that have registered, and we're having a sense of how long will it take us to make sure that all of them are installed, the set-top boxes are installed in the different households. And very soon, the minister will then be engaging with the different stakeholders on setting a date for the final date for analog switch off. But as you know, that we have done switch off in the 5 provinces, we are left with the 4 provinces. Unfortunately, those provinces are big, your Gauteng, Western Cape, KZN, and so forth. But we think that for now we are on track to finalize the migration. So the final step now that is outstanding is for the minister to then consult with the industry to issue the final date for the analog switch off.
Yeah.
And there will be consultation engagement. And finally, it's going to happen.
Finally, it's going to happen. But there are also commitments that are being sought. I mean, I would make reference to comments from the Public Media Alliance, who says that government must ensure that poorer households indeed have access to free set-top boxes even before you can completely switch them off analog signal. Are there any guarantees insofar as some of these calls that are being made? And is the department willing to put its neck on the block to also ensure that, like you alluded to right now, that poorer households do indeed have access before this complete switch off?
Indeed, the very exercise of giving sufficient notice to households is to make sure that all of them, no one was to be left behind. All of them were to register through the South African Post offices. And we think that this time around, we have done all what we could. The minister was on a drive to make sure that the indigent household register. There's been constant communication on radio, on TV, to advise those households who are eligible to apply. So we think that we've captured all the households who are supposed to benefit out of being given the free set-top boxes. So it's a guarantee each and every household that is qualifying has applied will be supplied with the set-top boxes for free.
Also give us your thoughts on one assertion also being made, especially when you attend some of these conferences, especially abroad, where it would seem or a lot's being said that digital transformation is indeed essential for enterprises' viability and also growth as well.
Digital transformation is essential. What we are preoccupied with currently, Vansha, is to make sure that we bridge the digital divide. We know that as more and more, there's a study recently that was done by the United Nations, which points to the fact that there are about 3.7 billion people across the globe, most of which are from the developing countries that do not have access to connectivity. And we are preoccupied with that because the world is getting digital. Digital economy is the fastest growing sector in the economy. And so there are a lot of benefits for digital economy. So there are those of our people who are not able to benefit from the results or from the fruits of the digital economy because they are not able to have connectivity. So part of the transformation, part of the interventions that has to be made is to make sure that we get all our people connected. So we've got a program in the department that we call SA Connect.
Yeah.
Through this program, we want to make sure that by 2025, almost 80% of all South Africans should have access to the internet in the next 3 years.
But it's very interesting you say that because there's also oftentimes criticism of our own administration here in South Africa where it is said that it seems that South Africa literally is playing a catch-up game, you know, especially when it comes to connectivity. I mean, in many countries abroad, as soon as you even land at that respective country or land at the airport, I mean, issues around Wi-Fi, you know, connectivity seems very seamless, you know. Also criticism that data prices, for instance, in South Africa are extremely high. How do you respond to that?
Well, look, there is an element of truth in that, which we do not deny, that there are still more and more of areas which does not have connectivity. But let me just say this, that we are working very hard as government to make sure that we working with the industry, of course, there is sufficient infrastructure, there is enough infrastructure to be able to enable this connectivity. You know that the infrastructure for connectivity, it is quite It's quite expensive, but we're happy with the progress that is made. For instance, on Wi-Fi, the rollout of broadband, the rollout of fiber to the home, that it has been, the adoption has been massive, especially after the COVID. So, and of course, the SA Connect project that we are working on, which we think that it will add to more people getting connected. Now, recently, we welcome the lending of the undersea cable, which will contribute significantly towards access to the internet through fiber, of course. And so we think that there are efforts that are done by government to make sure that we get to connect more of our people, because it's going to benefit the economy. On the data price, we've been very clear that we need the data prices to come down.
Yeah.
Mobile data in particular. You know that there was a study that was done by the Competitions Commission, which points to the fact that the data price, the data prices were significantly higher. And so there was a commitment to lower the cost of data. So we're working with on that together with the regulator ICASA to make sure that indeed the data prices must come down, and they should actually come down so that it can enable more and more people to be able to access the internet.
Before I let you go, also give us some insight on some of the activities or plans of the department as well.
Plans in respect of?
So plans in respect of your programs as well, especially when it comes to educating people a bit more about this digital migration and the switch off from analog.
Well, we have been on a marketing drive, going all out, encouraging the indigent household to register, explaining the importance and the significance of migrating from analog to digital, because we need now. ICASA has just in March, ICASA successfully allocated spectrum through auction. But for that spectrum to be fully available, we need to release it from the analog distribution. So we need to move as a country from analog to digital, so that we can have a, we can watch better TV. The pictures can be much better than the analog. And so we have been on a program to encourage and to educate the public about the benefits of migration from analog to digital. Of course, we have got many other programs that we have in the department, like the SA Connect project that I was telling you about. We're also rolling out programs around digital literacy, because as we move towards this digital economy, we need more and more of the people to be literate digitally. We're working with NEMISA. There's a program that we are running called Yarona Ambassadors Program, where we are training the communities around digital literacy. So there's a lot and very exciting work that we're doing in the department. I hope next time when we've got time, I will come back to Power FM to unpack all of that.
Please do.
Yeah, we're always available.
Thank you so much. Let me thank you again, Deputy Minister. That's Phili Mapulani. He's the Deputy Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies. Of course, speaking to us there about the work done by the department, as well as unpacking that International Phility Exhibition at the Cape Town International Convention Centre. This was after the South Africa was granted patronage to host this conference and the exhibition with the theme Road to Democracy.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.